Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? And you know what's exciting about this? I'll tell you what's exciting about this. I may have stolen the idea. God will prosper it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The wonderful thing about it is when we begin to hear the testimonies of how God has opened up doors and provided for. In fact, we've been doing that for other families in the church that have requested for us to join with them as they're praying for their son's business or family business or whatever. And we're just confident. And God will prove himself faithful. He will provide for us. Many of you that have had to live by faith your whole life already know this. Those of you that are in business are living by faith. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're living by faith because nobody knows the future except God. And that's where we have the in. You follow me? We're in with God because we know he knows the future and he's able to minister to us and bless us. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I got to move quickly. We're way past time. I think it's worth it. I think God has touched many of us, and I'll try to condense this as much as I can. It's a basic idea that I wanted to get across to us to kind of be the stimulus after the Daniel's fast in working toward developing a change, a growth that God wants to produce in our lives. He's always wanting us to grow. He's always wanting us to get better, closer, more intimate, more Christ-like, all those things. He really wants us to become men and women of God. Not the kind that, in fact, I just was flipping through one of my favorite channels on of all my 200 channels. I watch about two or three of them. That's about all I watch. What's the matter with me? But I was watching, one of my favorite channels is the Turner Classic Movies. You know, I like the old movies because they have lots of good plots. Like the mysteries are really good. The guy that did it in the end wasn't the butler, but it was somebody you never suspect. That kind of stuff. And they had plots. They really had a plot. You know, not just blow up things and shoot people and all those kinds of things. Although I kind of like action movies, but I like the old movies because it had Humphrey Bogart, you know, and guys like that. They had a movie on the other day with Burt Lancaster that he did. And what's the mom of the Partridge Family? What's her name? Yeah. That she was the one of the ladies, kind of the lady of the evening, kind of thing. And Elmer Gantry. Has anyone ever seen Elmer Gantry, the movie Elmer Gantry? One of us, two of us, three of us. It's with Burt Lancaster, and he is kind of a fallen kind of preacher. He felt the call when he was younger, and then he kind of went astray, you know, like modern preachers, you know, went astray and whatnot. And anyway, he gets this kind of a new flash that he's going to be a preacher, and of course, all kinds of things work against him. They get a picture of him. He's actually innocently talking to this girl in a room. Unfortunately, the place is bad. But somebody's taking pictures through the window and all this kind of, and exposes him with a lie at the end. But it wasn't that he wasn't like that before, but he was trying to make a new start for God kind of thing. But anyway, I like those kinds of movies because it shows you what preachers, real godly men, are not like. You know what I'm saying? Godly men don't do those things. Godly men don't bring dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ, or they do their best not to. It's not that we're all perfect. Preachers are never perfect. Probably the biggest problem in Christianity is somebody got that idea out there that preachers are perfect and that everybody else isn't. And, man, that is so far from the truth. You really need to read your Bible and figure out this whole story because every man, all men have the same like problems, and that's just the way it is. But I wanted to get across to you this morning that there is a standard. There is a level of living successfully that you can entitle a man of God or a woman of God. But I don't believe you arrive there instantaneously just because you give your heart to Christ, you serve the Lord, you go to church, you're faithful, and all the things that you do as a Christian. Try to live right, honestly, and all those kinds of things in life. But the truth of the matter is, when you make those kinds of efforts, you cannot accomplish becoming a man of God or a woman of God unless you factor in what God is doing in the whole picture. It's not just a matter of what you have learned and people have taught you, lessons that you've learned. And I'm trying to condense this as best I can. But while I'm condensing this, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to read a little bit of scripture there for you. In just a second, as I'm trying to lead you to a place and a desire for you to reach out and want to find a successful living as far as your Christian walk is concerned. That is going to be our struggle forever. Did you notice that? The messages that we heard this morning from the Holy Spirit all had to do with us making an effort, making a change, either surrendering, becoming more intimate, or trusting God. All of those things are efforts that we have to initiate. God has already initiated the blessings. He's already initiated the promises. He's already done the thing on the cross for us, so that there's no reason why we cannot receive from God, because it's all available. In fact, it's available to anyone, not just we Christians. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who asks Jesus into their life shall be forgiven, shall be transformed, shall become a brand new creature. That's just a wonderful promise. Those things are all provided. So everything that I've heard the Spirit speak this morning, including what I'm going to share with you, has to do with you taking the time and the initiative and the effort. But I wanted to keep it balanced. You really need to have things balanced. But this word is written by Paul to Timothy, and it's in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. I want to read in the 15, 16, 17 verses, so you'll catch a call. Am I talking faster? Can you tell I'm speeding up? And that from a child, he's talking to Timothy, and this is a good word for you and I. If you've been a Christian very long, or if you've raised in a Christian home, this is good words for you. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. If you've lived in a Christian home, you know the Scriptures. They've been taught you, they've been read to you, they've been prayed to you, they've been all those things that a good godly parent does, which are able to make thee wise. These Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now that's the whole plan of salvation right there in one verse for you. Verse 16 is interesting. This is where we're going. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So every time you open up this Bible, you even read old Chronicles, or you read the genealogies. That's inspired of God. How in the world they could be inspired of God, I don't know. But some of that stuff, you know, just he begot this and that, and it just goes down generation after generation. I don't know how that's inspired, but there's some inspiration there. I urge you to read the begots at least once in your life, okay? So you know that they really did happen, you know what I'm saying? But listen to this. The Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, those things that we believe that are immutable, unchangeable, God-given and God-accomplished. Doctrines, what we believe. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit. All these doctrines that we taught, the virgin birth, the Trinity, all those doctrines are derived from the Scripture, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's really God telling us all these things. So Paul is writing Timothy to instruct him in this. These things that you've learned in Scripture and that God has inspired are good for doctrines, and they're good for reproof. They're good for telling you what's wrong. The Scriptures are good for telling you what's wrong with your life, what's wrong in your life, what you need to do to improve. Oh, they're also good for correction. Okay, if you've done something wrong, here's how to correct it. Amen? I don't know about you, but that sounds a little like parenting, but that's why we call him the Heavenly Father. It's also, these Scriptures are also good for instruction in righteousness. That's what I want to instruct you in this morning. We all know Christian people need to live godly and righteously, don't we know that? Isn't that part of what came into your life when you asked Jesus Christ to come in? Yeah, he starts telling you how to live right. Oh, he tells you what's wrong, tells you how to get it right, and how to continue living that way, righteously. That's what the Scriptures do. That's what the doctrines do. And so it's very important. Paul writes this to him. And verse 17 is the blessing that comes out of all of that. What? That the man of God may be perfect. I don't know you, I'd like to be perfect. Every once in a while, I really almost think I am. And then my wife reproves, corrects, and instructs me. But all the scriptures and the doctrines and all this stuff produces something, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and thoroughly, completely furnished unto all good works. You see, after we become Christians, we receive salvation by free, but everything from that point on, it's a do, what we do that matters about our lives. Some of it has to do with whether we go to heaven. If we continue serving Christ, we'll go to heaven. If we turn from Christ, we won't. You follow what I'm saying? And so part of it has to do with that. But most of what we are experiencing after we become a Christian, after we make that commitment, after Jesus does his work in our lives, is a matter of using effort, doing things, deciding to choose and do things that are pleasing to God. And I'm going to be honest with you here. This is how good and how great God is. You can't do that. It's the inspiration of the scripture. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's God's help in order for you to even accomplish that. So it's real cool. I read in the scripture to learn what God wants. I can't do that. I can't accomplish that unless God helps me accomplish that. But that's what's awesome about God. His whole work in your life is to help you accomplish that. Man, what kind of God is that? Not just demanding, you must do this for me, and you must do this for me, otherwise I'm going to send lightning bolts down and just fry you. That's a pretty tough God to serve. That's a real hard God to love. That's why our God is not like, oh yes, he is holy and he is righteous, and you must be holy and righteous to step into his presence, either on this earth or in heaven. But this is what's awesome about God. He is such a loving and wonderful and merciful God. He is a forgiving God. So whenever you get to the point where you feel like you've blown it enough or whatever, God is still right there to restore you and renew you and help you. Folks, if you don't have that hope, the prayers for your businesses is not going to do us any good, because the prayer for your businesses is rooted in your confidence in Christ in your own personal life. He loves you. He's looking out for you. He's prepared a way for you, a way that is better than any other way you can possibly live on this planet. He will provide for you. You will have things. You will have food. You will have shelter. And you'll even have a cool car now and then. God knows the needs in your life. Let's be honest. God provides these wonderful things. And so there's three elements that I want you to understand about having success in living for Christ. It's really going to be true whether you are a Christian or not, but I'm applying it in Christian terminology and perspective, because this is important. And I don't care how old you are. It makes no difference. You can be 90, you can be 50, you can be younger, 30, 20, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. These principles will work for you. And they're not new principles. I've harped on a couple of these, at least one of them a couple of times, and others I've alluded to that I think are important. But I think all three of these elements are absolutely necessary. You can't do it with two. You can't do it with one. You have to have all three elements working in your life. And I'm going to tell you what those three elements are. First of all, education. You need to learn. You need to be taught. You need to understand these scriptures that are inspired by God. You need to read this book. Amen? Don't have me just read it for you to tell you the context of what we're talking about. Paul is instructing this young preacher on things about how he should live and the inspiration of the scripture and the confidence he can have in the Word of God, because what God says, God does. But you have to learn that. You have to know that. That's why we have Sunday schools. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we have Bible colleges. That's why you come to listen to some guy like me preach on Sunday mornings. I'm teaching you. I'm sharing things with you that God's Word tells me and that God's Word talks about. And so I share what I have learned from the Word and from God's Spirit with you every Sunday morning. When I come to share with you, I'll guarantee every one of you leave here differently. Maybe good, maybe bad, maybe ugly, maybe hating me. I don't care. But the point is, you'll never be the same once you come to the house of God. You'll always leave differently. Now, you may force yourself into conforming again what you were last week. But frankly, if you let God do what he's doing, you won't be the same this coming week. Because God has begun a work, and he wants to complete that work. And the only thing that stops God from doing that is you. Preventing God from doing what he has promised you to do, or you have asked him perhaps in this altar to do for you. The only thing that halts that is us. We have the door to shut. We can open the door and let him do it, or we can shut the door and not let him do it. And some of this stuff has nothing to do with whether you get to heaven, so it's your choice. How successful do you want to be? as a Christian for God. I don't know about you, it gets real tough on me when I get kind of lazy on reading the scripture, lazy on praying, lazy on these things. I begin to find things not going so well for me. Why? Because God blesses the faithful. And as faithful as you are, God will proportionately bless your life. So if you just, you know, come to church just to hang out for a while, hear the groovy music. Man, if that's not a dating term, I don't, 1968, right there. Education, why? Let me read a scripture for you in Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. It's in the 15th chapter. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What does that got to do with what we're talking about? What's that got to do with educating, learning, being taught things? Well, I don't know about you, but my mama told me, don't hang out with those guys because they'll ruin your good manners. Listen to the next verse. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. He's writing to the Corinthian church, one of my favorite churches to talk about because it is just so real. If you want to know what church life is really all about, read Corinthians. Don't read the old noble Ephesian church. That was an exceptional church. And there are other churches that were exceptional. Galatians, they had their problems. They were hung up on telling everybody what's wrong with them, but not recognizing what's wrong with themselves. You know, getting real legalistic. Has you ever been to a church where people are legalistic? You know what I mean? I better stop because I've had people walk out of this church because I've gone on that line, so I better not go down that road. But my point is, when he writes to the Corinthian church, if anything can go wrong in a church, it went wrong in Corinthian church. There was incest in the church. There was spiritual fanaticism in the church. They did not know biblical doctrine. If you read the scriptures that Paul writes in the scripture that I just read for you, is in the middle of the context when Paul is trying to teach them that the resurrection is real. Now, how can you receive Christ and not know the resurrection's real? But he's teaching them the resurrection and that there's going to be a resurrection of a body, a spiritual body, a changed body. They didn't know that. He's teaching them all these kinds of things because they were ignorant. They had no knowledge of God. Well, why didn't they have any knowledge? Because they depended too much on the second element. The second element is experience. You see, you can have all the head knowledge you want, but if you don't have some experience with it, nobody's going to hire you. I did a bid on a school project here just recently. And in the spec book, the architects and the general contractors, they have a spec book that they tell you how the job should be done and what exact process you have to use. They describe the screws, the nails, the type of sheetrock, the type of priming that has to be done before textures apply. All these things are put in the spec book so that when you complete your job, they compare it to what the specs say, and it has to measure up to the specs, the specifications. And so in that, I'm noting that it's writing a letter to contractors, which probably doesn't mean a thing to any of you except those that maybe have your business cards here. It says, contractor must have been in business for at least 5 years. So in other words, if you've been in business in my field or whatever field, less than 5 years, you're not qualified to bid on this job. You see what I'm saying? So there's three elements. There's education, learning. You've got to learn what God wants you to know. And that is to know Him, to know what makes Him happy, to know what pleases Him, and what brings about His blessings in your life. He wants you to know that. So that you can benefit, so you can be a better person, and all the crud in this life won't overwhelm you. What good is it to claim to be a Christian if this world is beating you up all the time? How are we be successful? How do we overcome these things? Two elements of the three: education, experience. You've got to be able to apply the lessons you've learned. God teaches you how to live right. You've got to apply that in every circumstance and situation in your life. He tells you to be godly. That means be godly at church. That means be godly at home. That means be godly on the job. That means be godly in anybody you got a relationship with. No exceptions. Be godly. If he tells you to be godly, it's in every aspect of your life. So you have to learn to apply that lesson of godliness. How do I live godly? Well, there are certain things I do and certain things I don't do, but most of it is the attitude of my heart that makes me love God so much that I want to do whatever is going to make God happy. But you need to apply. How do you gain experience? Hey, I can talk about salvation, but it means nothing to you until you experience it. You apply the lesson being taught to you to your circumstance. And then after you've received Christ, it's the same process. How do I overcome habits in my life? How do I overcome bad relationships? How do I overcome a bad experience on the job? How do I become a good employee, a good husband, a good wife, a good son, a good whatever I am? How do I become that? How do I become the best? Well, let me tell you something. You can do all these things mechanically. You can know how to do it, and you can apply it. That's all wonderful and very good. But the third element that's absolutely important is that you need to practice it. You need to be able to repeat it. You don't just do it once. You repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it until you become a master of what you have repeated. That's how you become a good drummer. That's how you become a good carpenter. That's how you become a fair preacher. That's how you become anything, with practice. So you need to learn how, you need to apply what you've learned, and you need to repeat it, or you need to practice it. Those three elements are necessary for success. The fourth element is an additional element that I kind of like to focus on, because you can be successful in life with those three elements. If you want to be a mechanic, study mechanisms. Get some experience. Let somebody else mentor you. Learn. Get experience. Repeat it. And before long, you are a master of whatever that area is. That's true if you're not a Christian. The advantage we have as Christians is we have the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives to make us successful. So therefore, if that's true, can you accept that by faith in Jesus' name? That's a preacher talk there. If you believe that, if you can accept that, if you think that's a true statement, then what you really need to recognize is if you're not a success, there's something wrong in the three elements of your life and maybe the fourth one. Christians should never be failures. Oh, will they fail? Yeah, we'll fail. Because let me tell you what, some of your best lessons are learned through failure. I think it was Booker T. Washington that said one time, and I don't know if I can remember the quote correctly or perfectly, but it kind of goes like this. A measure of a man's success is not where he has arrived in life, but how many obstacles he's overcome to get there. That's the measure of man's success. And it's no different in Christianity. We fail. I hate to tell you this, but I'm not the perfect human being walking on the planet. I'm sorry, Jim. Man, I burst your bubble. I forgive me for that. I know that's what you thought. But what makes me successful, as hard as it may be for me to swallow sometimes and to do sometimes, I'm still very willing to do it. I repent. I ask God to forgive me. And I ask God to help me. And God does. Amen. And the wonderful thing about that is my failure now becomes a great schoolmaster to me. I learned, hey, don't go there again. Hey, don't do that again. Hey, don't do that again. You follow me? I learn from my mistakes. The best learning tool is experiences, whether it's experiencing success or experiencing failure. Failure's harder to learn from because it hurts so bad. Because you lose confidence in yourself, you lose confidence in your relationship to God, you lose confidence in everything. And it has to be restored, and nobody can restore that but you and God. And so what I'm saying is every Christian here this morning should be successful. Not in comparison to me or a comparison to anybody else in the congregation, but in comparison to what they could be. You should have arrived at a place where you have overcome many obstacles and you are now successful, still in the house of God, after all these years, still serving Jesus. Man, that is powerful stuff. That is awesome stuff. That is life changing. That is success in your life. If you want to be successful, you need to learn some things. Then you need to get some experience applying, assimilating the lessons and letting it result in experience. And the change that occurs from that will be positive. It has to be positive experience. Even in taking a negative thing and turning it into a positive, it's still a positive. God's ultimate goal is to use everything in your life, every experience you have, and make it a spiritual lesson for you. Everything in life. You see, you may think you're a carpenter or a mechanic or whatever. Whatever you do, you label yourself as a vocation. And we all do that, don't we? We meet somebody new, we shake their hand, we say, hey, how are you? Where are you from? What do you do? Almost inevitably, we ask people what they do because we identify people by what they do. Okay, you're a mechanic. Okay, we know what mechanics are. We know what they do. You got to learn all this now. I don't even know if you can do that. It's all electronic now, and it's just ruined cars. Whatever happened to the day when you had old points and you could take an old matchbook and gap them old burnout points and get home with it? There's a plot somewhere. There's a conspiracy. They give you a car that's going to break down, and they make you pay $50,000 for it. That picture just doesn't set right. But isn't it an awesome thing to realize that God in his process, the things that he's doing in your life can be identified, measurable, they are achievable. You can achieve success. You can achieve success in God, with God, for God. You can achieve success. Because God measures not the success by how many souls you've won, how many notches on your pistol you have. God measures your success by how Christ-like you are in the process. If I'm trying to get a bunch of notches so people will recognize me as a good gunslinger, I'm worthless to the kingdom. And I'm not going to be successful. Somebody's going to gun me down somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, everything that God is now doing in your life as a Christian is to bring you to understanding and knowledge of him. And by the way, knowing him, more than knowing his ways, will still teach you his ways. If you know God is holy, you already know what his ways are, don't you? If you know God is righteous, you know what his ways are. You know how he acts, you know what he thinks, you know what he likes. If God is love, pretty good indicator he might love you. Am I making any sense? So these three elements are important for success. My question to you this morning is, and maybe the Holy Spirit, man, we're going to get done in pretty good time here. My question to you is, how successful are you? When the Holy Spirit moves upon you in a service like he did this morning, don't look at me like a blank slate, because I know the Holy Spirit moved on you. And when he moved on you, some of you said, I don't have nothing to do with that. Those people, look at them weirdos up there, praying, putting oil on their heads. What's the matter with those people? I don't have nothing to do with that. Some of you, when the Holy Spirit came upon you, knew exactly who it was, and you knew that you might have needed him to work in your heart and in your life and minister to you. I don't know. But I do know that if the Holy Spirit comes to church, he's on you. He is on you. He is on you. And what he wants to do is whatever you need in your life. Now, I may think I need a brand new 4-wheel drive, 3-quarter ton Ford pickup. I'm beginning to abandon Dodge here because of the troubles I've been having. But God may see, hey, you know, $500 to repair this or $50,000 debt you got to get. I think I'm going over here. Drive that stupid old white Dodge, it still gets me down the road. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that God is doing is to meet your needs. Needs that you think you know, but you really don't know. You may think you need something that will satisfy you, when in actuality, all God wants to do is put his love weight down in your heart so that it changes you from inside out. Did you know all the change you need in your life? All the change you need in your life has nothing to do with people around you. Has nothing to do with your circumstances. Has nothing to do with the officer that stopped you and gave you the ticket. has nothing to do with them. I was listening to Casey Treat the other day, and he's talking about his old life. When he gave his heart to Christ, he was able to look out the front windshield more than the rearview mirror. I thought that's a pretty good statement, isn't it? And he said, and the statement that he made that I thought was really profound, he said, what I realized was, it wasn't my probation officer, it wasn't the police officer, it wasn't all the counselor's problem, it was my problem. And it's true. Our problems really are our problems. Don't blame it on your neighbor, don't blame it on your husband, your wife, your whatever. It's your problem. You do right, regardless of what anybody else does, and God will bless your faithfulness. God will enrich your life. God will make you a stronger Christian. He will make you an overcomer of the evil in this world. You won't be hanging out with guys and have bad conversation that ruins your good manners. You understand what I'm saying? Let me kind of bring this to a close by challenging you one last time. How successful are you? Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your strength and your power. Come in your special way. If you this morning, even after the great altar service and worship, feel a little not full, I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit's not challenging you. If there's something in your life you can't figure out how to overcome, this Bible, believe it or not, speaks to everything in human life. And it tells you how to succeed in specifics. Hey, can I close with, I'm going to quit at 20 till. If pornography is a problem with me, maybe I ought to read the story of Joseph. Inspiration by God. Man who was top dog in Potiphar's house. Could do anything he's want. Potiphar's wife wants to sleep with him. What does Joseph do that is the biggest, best lesson for men? Run! 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 Not like the wind, like a rocket. Get out of there. Amen? That's right. Amen. Give God a hand. Amen. Let's stand, shall we?
Hallelujah.
There's something in that Bible for everybody. Amen? Amen. What is your issue? What is it that prevents you from being successful? Successful on, we know God's terms, that's what we're in church. But successful just as in your own life. I'm going to be honest with you. Before I met Jesus Christ, I was not successful. Now I'm going to give you another little clue here. I know you look at me and sometimes wonder where in the world that guy comes from, you know? I was a straight-A student in high school. Hung up on drugs. I had the abilities to succeed. Believe it or not, there really is a brain in here. I was working to become, or to be nominated to the Naval Academy. My father was a serviceman, a career serviceman. That would give me a good leg up. All I had to do is apply to my congressman. I had the grades to match it. But I lost my success when I chose the wrong road to go down. Since I've become a Christian, I've realized really how to measure success. Now I measure success in your life. You made it to church today. Why do I say that? Well, It means you fought your way through the week. Whatever the devil or life threw at you, you overcame it. You made it to the house of God and into fellowship with God's people. And I'm going to tell you what, God's Spirit can move anywhere He wants to, but it don't move like it do in church when God's people get together and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. You succeeded. You made it. Now we got another week to face. Are we going to be successful? Yeah, I think we are. Because our thinking is right. We want God to do what he wants to do. And we really do want to be successful for Jesus Christ. Now, being successful for Jesus Christ is be successful morally, spiritually, in all those ways, but also in everything we do in life. We can be successful. Business, successful. Relationships, successful. Why? Because we put God first. Let the Holy Spirit do. Yes, Lord, do what you want to do in me. All you really need is a desire to succeed and a willingness to overcome obstacles. There's no reason why you can't be the best Christian to ever walk on the planet. Amen? Amen. Let's ask God to do that in our lives. Amen. Father, right now, thank you for this whole service, not only the worship and how your Spirit has moved and ministered. Set some of us just at liberty and freedom, Lord. We're brand new. But that we've prayed for businesses and we anticipate the great miracles that you're going to work. And then hear the testimonies of how you've provided when there was no way to provide and nowhere to provide. But more than that, even that you have taught us to be a success in this life doesn't mean we'll all ever be millionaires. That's not success. Success is that we've overcome and we're still making it to the house of God on Sunday morning. We're still worshiping you. We're still living for you. Still faithful. And you're still real to us. We want to thank you for that. Praise you for that. Ask you to continue that in our lives. Continue to help us be faithful. Equip us. Give us the strength so that we can be fully equipped as men and women of God. Give us that Holy Spirit and a fresh anointing. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands and be friendly. Just tell one another how successful you are. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.